The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. From Domaine Justin Boxler, I am joined by Charlotte Boxler, whose wines I got to try a little while ago with these Wines of Alsace event. And I wanted to talk to Charlotte a little bit more. And good afternoon. Good morning, Charlotte. Thanks for doing the show today.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you.
So first, I was wondering if you could tell everyone just your role with the family winery. And I know it's a wide range from marketing to being in the vineyard.
I am Charlotte Boxler, the 11th generation of winemaker in my family. So it's a very long story about winemaking. So we work in Niedermorschwihr. So it is in Alsace, very close to Colmar. And we work 12 hectares of vineyard in biologic agriculture. So we are really a family business. So I work with my cousin, my father, my mother, my aunt, and my uncle. So it's really family business.
Yeah, it really seems to be. I saw this video of your family and it's really great. And just the images of your dad and your uncle pruning. And I mean, they just look so excited when they're out in the vineyard.
My father and my aunt associate after my grandfather. So Justin Boxler is my grandfather, so the name of the brand. And after, in the 80s, it was my father and my aunt, so brother and sister. And since 2022, Florent, so my cousin and me, we are the new generation after father and aunt, so it's nice.
You say about working with the family, you have to know how to listen to each other. Yeah. I was wondering if you could sort of elaborate on that.
So sometimes, the most part of the time, it is really, really nice to work with family because we know each other and we can understand more things than the other. And we have a lot of time together and the most part of the time, it's really funny time. But of course, sometimes can be more difficult because can be difficult to say to someone we love, it's not okay to do like that, or it's difficult to hear, okay, Charlotte, the thing you do is not right, and so on. So sometimes can be more difficult, but the more part of the time, it is a really nice experience.
What I'm always curious about is when there's a newer generation coming in, sometimes yeah. you're going to butt heads. You're going to fight with the older generation. I'm wondering when was the last time you and your cousin, when was the last time that you guys had a disagreement with your dad?
So we have a beautiful and a lot of change to have my father, because he is very okay with the new idea of the vinification of the wine world. So he is very interesting by all the new thing we can do. He is really open with new vinification, new idea from my cousin, from me. So it's really, really, really very interesting to work with someone more old than us, but very open. It's difficult to say there is a lot of problems. So of course we speak a lot about the sweetness in the wine, because in the past it was more sweet wine. But when we can speak together, we can do a lot of things together. And it's really important to can speak and explain our mind of everybody. So I am happy we don't have a lot of problem for the cross between the new generation and the last.
Yeah, and by the way, that's going to be natural. But when you bring new ideas in, sometimes you've got to convince older generations. It's kind of like that in any business. How would you describe your Riesling portfolio at Boxler?
Riesling is really the king for me. So this is the more important grape we have. So we have the chance to work Riesling on more basic area and with four different specific area. So for the specific area in Riesling, we have one Lieu-dit. So it's approximately like a premier cru, we can say. So it is the Lieu-dit Pfeller. With limestone soil, and after we work with the Riesling with three different Grand Cru in granitic soil, and this is really a very intense job because we can see, of course, the topography of the three different Grand Cru is different, but everything is very close, but the wine is so different, so it's really nice to work with the Riesling.
What does the different soils, what do the different soils bring to your Riesling?
Of course, the most part is granitic soil, but we have a little bit limestone, so we can see a big difference between the acidity. So the aspect of the fruitness can be approximately okay between granite and limestone, but the acidity will be very different. And this is amazing because with the granitic soil, we have an aspect more straight, if you want. And with the limestone soil, this is more not round because of the sweetness, but more ample in the mouth. And I like the difference between these two type of soil.
And it's hard to do a generalization because every wine is different and every vintage is, but for people who don't know, what would you say are the bigger differences between Riesling from Alsace versus Riesling from, say, Mosel in Germany?
I think in the Riesling of Alsace, maybe the alcohol can be more high. So I worked just a few months in Rheinessen, and it was a very beautiful experience for me. And with my little experience with Alsace wine and German wine, I think the potential in alcohol can be very different, a little bit more high in Alsace. For the topography and so on, I saw so much vineyard, very steep, and it was amazing. It was a wonderful place too. So for the topography can be approximately not the same, but can be okay. And maybe the alcohol and the powerful in the wine can be different between German wine and Alsace wine.
Before we continue on all things Boxler and Alsace, and I want to talk about your Pinot Noir, a little bit about you, Charlotte, because this is a family business. Your mother, your uncle, your father, your cousin—I mean, everyone is in it. Was wine always a thing that you wanted to get into, or was it something that came on a little bit later?
It's really a funny question because with my father, so today we work together and we have fun every time when we work together because in the past when I was more young, every time he said, I think Charlotte will sell everything in the future and do another job, do a lot of things, but not wine. And now it's totally different. So I think I start to be very interested by the wine industry. Maybe when I was a young teenager, 17, approximately 18, but not before.
And so there, your family didn't put pressure on you to go into the wine business?
No, we can go in France in specific school for learn a job when we have 14, 15 years, but my parents every time said, if you need to go in the basic school with every mathematic and so on, with everything you can go, you need to go. If wine is not your taste, wait, and maybe you can see later and so on. So when I go in a wine school in Burgundy, it was my decision, and I am very thankful to my parents for that. I decide. So it's my choice, so it's better, I think, when it's our choice.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's great, because you hear stories of family that say, no, you're going in the business. Others say, never come in this. So it's good to have that flexibility. I imagine that made it easier for you to get into the business, knowing this was your decision.
Yeah, of course. It's very difficult, I think, for someone who don't like maybe the job. It can be winemaking or, I don't know, everything. And if we decide something, I think we can do better and better. So it's very nice.
Well, what are the hardest, the most difficult days? What do they look like for you?
More difficult days maybe can be more difficult days. It's a good question. Every day is so different. So yesterday I do something. Today it's another day, so other activity. Sometimes I am a little bit scared during the vegetative period, so in June, July, and there is a lot of work, a lot of vineyard, and we need to go everywhere. So sometimes I am a little bit scared about this type of day when it's very long days, very soon in the day and very intense period of work. So sometimes, yeah, with the treatment and so on, can be scared. But every day is beautiful. It's not hard. It just can be stress. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And I guess would that stress come from that you don't really have full control? It's still Mother Nature kind of dictating what your day is going to be.
Yeah, and we see, so 21 was my first vintage, and when we see the catastrophe of the weather, so it was really intense. So every time it was rainy, it was, everything was complicated in 21 because so much rain. It was difficult for it was difficult for understand, okay, it's rainy every day, but we need to go in the vineyard for the treatment, or we need to stay at home and do it. It was impossible to understand this type of vintage, but it was.
Yeah, there's nothing you, is that the toughest thing when you start getting that rain closer to harvest?
We need water, we need rain. So in 22, totally opposite. We don't have enough rain, no rain during all the summer. So rain is not a problem if it's not too much. So every people say winemaker is every day, no, happy, unhappy, and so on. But sometimes we need a little bit some everything, but not too much of one thing.
No, that makes sense. All right, let's go to the red wine for a second. What should people know about your Pinot and Alsatian Pinot Noir in general? Because it's certainly a wine that people aren't as familiar with.
So for the Pinot Noir, so everybody know Alsace is a white wine region, of course. The most part is white wine. But since a lot of years now, maybe we can say 10 years, Pinot Noir is even more important. So approximately we can say Pinot Noir is approximately 10% of the vineyard in Alsace. And in our estate, it is approximately the same, 10%. So Pinot Noir now is more and more famous, we can say, maybe, because Alsatian people work very different the Pinot Noir than the last 10 years. So big effort is done with the Pinot Noir, the yield, the aspect of the soil for plant and for the pruning and so on. So many things is done with Pinot Noir for have something very beautiful in the glass. And in our estate, so we love Pinot Noir because, of course, I was in Burgundy during 3 years, so I know a little bit Pinot Noir. But the difference is we work Pinot Noir on granitic soil, so it's a different aspect of the Pinot Noir.
And if you were telling someone what a glass of your Pinot Noir tastes like, how, and again, I know every year is different, but what would be the general characteristics?
Pinot Noir in Alsace is have this aspect very elegant. Alors, of course, we can, Pinot Noir can be a light, is a light red grape, but we have something so elegant and so something so pure. So it's really nice. We can have a more easy drinking Pinot Noir, more fruity, and we can adapt with different aging in wood. We have different soils, so the combination of all our area can be very nice, and we can play with the aging. So of course, a lot of people can do 8 months, 12 months, but we can do more and more. So it's really nice to work with Pinot Noir. We can do a lot of things, and we learn every vintage.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine your Pinot Noir will taste different 10 years from now than what it does today.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Really different.
I'm curious, as speaking of Pinot Noir, you mentioned Burgundy, 3 years you were there. What are some of your favorite memories? I mean, obviously, going to learn about wine in one of the most important wine regions on the planet.
So it was a real pleasure sorry. It was really important for me to learn in another wine region. So of course there is a wine school in Alsace, but it was important to go in another wine region. And Burgundy, of course, is close to Alsace, but very different, and of course very famous wine region. And it was nice to discover a different type of Pinot Noir. And so my first big impress I have, it was with a Pinot Noir of Chassagne. And it was, I can explain why this cuvée was a revelation for me, but I remember it was maybe 7 years ago now, but I have this idea of the Pinot Noir in my mind, and it is a real good memories.
Of course. I think so many people, they remember their first great glass of wine, their first great bottle of wine. And I mean, I bet you can remember a lot of maybe what food you had or where you were sitting when, or where you were when you had this great wine.
Yeah, I can remember it was the wine of very good friends, and yeah, maybe the moment everything together was so nice to appreciate to the maximum the wine. And with the wine, of course, it is every time like this. If you have a beautiful wine with beautiful friend and so on, it's always a good memories.
Now, people don't know this because this is a podcast, but Charlotte has the biggest smile on her face when thinking back to those moments in Burgundy. I feel I could do 100 questions on that alone, but we'll go back to your to the vineyard. I was wondering, you guys, where are you now when it comes to or making wine organically?
My grandfather and my father was so many years ago very interested by the nature, the environment, and so on. So we start to work more constantly in 2003. So we adapt every product we use in the vineyard and stop every more difficult product and not so nice product in 2003. And after, in 2009, we decided to only work with the organic method in outside and in the cellar. So yeah, of course, my parents are not really in love with the paper and administrative things. So it was only we work for us, we work for the nature, so we don't care about the certification and so on. So we do this for our client, for our partner, for us, for the nature, but not for the not for the administrative things. So since 2009 to 2019, we only work like an organic winemaker, but not with a certification. And after my school in Burgundy, when I come back home, I decide to, yeah, it was important to just have this mention for the export thing and so on. So we decided after more than 10 years to do the administrative thing. And it was not so boring.
How
A little bit, but not too much.
was 2022? How is that was your first year?
So 21 was the real first one, but 22 is more maybe. So it was so different. No rain during all the summer and the vegetative period. So for the grape, it was more complicated because the vineyard need water, and with granitic soil, it was even more complicated because it is really poor soil, so we need water and so on. So in July we can see the grape, and the grape was so little, no juice, no water, and so on. And after the 15 August, it was hail, but
Oh.
hail with water. So thanks God, it was a lot of rain and a little bit hail. But if it was only hail, the problem outside was is more important. So with the water in combination, it was quite okay. Of course, it was a problem, but water it was very important this day. So just, yeah, 2 weeks before harvest, it was water and hail. So after we decided to harvest really soon because a lot of grape was damaged and it was ripe. So we start the harvest in 22 at the end of August for sparkling wine and for still wine, for everything.
How scary is hail? What do people not know about just the impact that hail can have on a vineyard?
Of course, a lot of different winemakers maybe see even worse hail than me, because in Alsace we have a lot of chains. Sometimes not very good climate stay in the Vosges, in the mountain of the Vosges, or in the Schwarzwald in Germany. So we don't have the habitude. It's a change. We don't have the habitude to have some complicated weather. But in 22, I saw hail like I never see before in Alsace. So it was, yeah, it was midday. It was the day, it was the first day for me to go in holidays. And I was
Oh,
so scared to go in holidays with
wow.
this mess outside. But yeah, it was so special day. But now we have the wine. Now the grape is harvest, the wine is here. As wine have beautiful equilibration and so on. So now it's bad memories, but on the 15 August it was, yeah, not really funny day.
In the video that you did on the winery, you talked at one point about new consumer tastes
Yeah.
and habits. And I'm wondering how different, or have you noticed any difference in the market in terms of what people want from their wine
Okay.
today in 2023 versus when you started, or how different was it when you were studying in Burgundy?
We see a lot of difference between our old client and between the past and now. So I think it is in Alsace in general, but a lot of people is more interested by the more dry wine, of course, but more light in alcohol, I think, and something more equilibrate between sweetness and acidity. In Elsa, the more important thing is the equilibration between acidity. Sweetness is not really a problem if we have a lot of acidity. In 21, we see the acidity was so high. When we have a wine with 4 grams of sweetness, it's not a problem when it's 9 grams of acidity. But we need to be very focused on this acidity. So for have answer to your question, the habitude change and the aspect of the consumer change for the sweetness. And this is very important for my cousin and me to understand this and have something more equilibrated.
It's funny. I always try to tell people sweetness or the amount of sugar. Don't worry about the amount of sugar as long as the wine is well made and balanced.
A lot of people say sweetness is just a problem and so on. Some people from Burgundy, it's trend, so it's funny, but they say we need Riesling dry, not Riesling Alsatian dry. So like if we have two type of sucrosity, the dry wine in France and the dry wine in Alsace. Of course, with the analyze from the laboratory of enology, we can see, okay, there is 3 grams of sweetness in the Riesling, but it doesn't matter if we have the acidity. Some people can't smell there is a sweetness. It's 3 grams, it's not so high.
No.
So there is a lot of thing to adapt with a lot of people.
Yeah, they have to know that mass-produced California red wine has way more sugar than the Alsatian Rieslings. It's not even close. Before we end this, Charlotte, what would you tell people who are afraid of Gewürztraminer? They smell Gewürztraminer and it makes them nervous. Well, what advice would you give to these people?
Gewürztraminer is a real, real interesting grape because there is an aromatic so, so, so special. So I understand people when they say Gewürztraminer is no. But the very important question is to understand why this is no. So if it is because of the sweetness, now a lot of Alsatian people produce Gewürztraminer with low, low, low sweetness. So you can even more understand the aromatic. I understand and I'm totally agree. Sometimes a grape can be confused because there is too much sweetness. But if you search a little bit, you can find something very interesting with a beautiful aspect in the mouth. Acidity, fruitness, and beautiful aromatic. You need to be more curious about this beautiful grape.
Yes. You know what? Perfect way to end the interview. I will say, Charlotte, it's been a little while, but for people out there, if they can find your wines, Domaine Justin Buxler, I tried 2 different Rieslings, the Pinot, Gewürztraminer. Everything was just fantastic. I was really impressed with your guys' portfolio. It's why I wanted to talk to you. And congratulations. I know your wine journey is still early, but it looks like you were having fun. It must be so rewarding to do a job that you love and you get to do a job with your family. That's not a bad way to spend your day.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.